Katie McGinty, welcome to Newsworks Tonight. When you're on somebody's doorstep and you have 60 seconds to tell them why you're the best candidate for governor, what's your pitch?
I said, listen, if you're interested in a candidate who comes from a working family and every priority will be about strengthening the middle class and creating jobs, if you are a person who's looking for a candidate that has experience and is tested at the highest levels of public office but is not one of those career politicians, and if you're looking for someone who has vision but a long 25-year track record, bipartisan coalitions, getting stuff done, progress, solving problems, then I'm your candidate.
Experience at a high level, but not a career politician. Make the distinction for us.
I think it's critically important. The job of governor is about, one, intersecting with the legislature and putting forward an agenda that will move the priorities for the people of Pennsylvania forward, and having experience in building those coalitions. It's also about running the government of Pennsylvania and knowing how to turn those agencies into agents of problem solving. You don't come at that on day one. And it's different being a campaigner and a career politician as compared to sitting in the executive office and having those responsibilities. That's what I did for President Clinton, running an executive office in the White House, vision, agenda, but problem solving and making things happen for people. Similarly, as Secretary of Environmental Protection, finding the way to get that legislation passed that made us number one in wind energy, made us number two in solar energy in the country. That's the skill set I think the public needs, demands, and should be looking for in this hiring decision for governor.
You've worked in the government at a high level. You've worked in the private sector. This is your first run for elected office. What's it been? What's surprised you?
Well, the joy of it has been intersecting with people in every corner of the Commonwealth and seeing that people are on fire. They care. They care about this state. They care about the future of the Commonwealth. And they think that we can and should be doing much, much better. What's been energizing to me, although not so positive, is the deep concern that I've seen by families, again, in every corner of the Commonwealth, on how poorly we're doing in job creation, on the disastrous decision that Tom Corbett made to slash funds for public education. You know, moms and dads, whether they're Republican or Democrat, don't like a bit the fact that their kids don't have counselors anymore, or nurses in the school. They don't have after-school activities or tutors. Everybody gets it that we're on the wrong track, and I am ever more energized about the need, the promise, the possibility, and the imperative that we get somebody new in Harrisburg to turn things around.
You're in a field of, with three other Democratic candidates, pretty accomplished people, and there's a lot of broad policy agreement among you. How do you distinguish yourself?
Well, listen, I have been privileged to serve in the private sector as well as in the White House with President Clinton and here as Secretary of Environmental Protection. You know, the experiences are different. Having run a business, I know that the leadership experience you gain in that capacity doesn't translate exactly to leadership in government. Why? When you are the boss in a business, all of your employees, one, report to you and their paycheck depends on you. Very different situation when you're intersecting with 253 separately elected legislators, none of whom report to you, and at least some of whom feel that their paycheck depends on opposing you. What my experience has been is, nonetheless, even in that environment, finding a way to get those legislators to move, to get good things done, and it's a very different set of experiences and skill sets.
Give me one example from your experience in government that shows you have that kind of leadership.
Well, listen, when I came into office in 2003, I came out of the private sector seeing that the world was beginning to invest in renewable energy. And so I thought, no better state to manufacture that clean energy equipment than Pennsylvania. Everyone said to me, you're crazy. A Republican legislature in an industrial state, they're not going to go for renewable energy. But you know, I worked it. I didn't make it about ideology. I made it about jobs. And within a year, one, we landed the biggest wind energy manufacturing company in the world, came to Pennsylvania, created 1,000 jobs. And a month after that, I got that Republican legislature to pass legislation legislation requiring the use of renewables in Pennsylvania, we were the first industrial state in the country to do that.
You need a lot of big checks to run a campaign in a state this size. You've talked about the need for campaign finance reform, but the fact is that big contributions are a part of the game today, and you've accepted some from coal companies, folks that you regulated in the past. There was a story on our State Impact website about you taking a large check from a man who had been involved in a proposed waste coal plant, and there was an email that indicated, this is back, I believe, in 2005, you wanted to get the approval done quickly for that. And are there cases where this gets dicey? I mean, was that a case where you helped someone get quick approval and then they turned around and helped you when you were running for office?
Well, first, Dave, what the email indicated is that when I led the Department of Environmental Protection, I led it. That meant we moved. We said no to a whole lot of permits. We said yes to other permits. Time is not the friend of a good project, and it can kill projects as well. In the private sector, I had a project that I had to walk away from. It was a $60 million project that was going to restore an incredibly polluted stretch of a river and recreate fish habitat that had been destroyed. When EPA came back and said, well, that's terrific, and we'll let you know in 5 years as to whether or not we're going to approve it. Well, you cannot run a business or create a good project on the basis of that kind of delay. What I would never do, Dave, is when I was secretary, Pennsylvania was ahead of every other state in things like clean energy, in things like taking on toxic pollution. The reason why Al Gore has endorsed me in this race, the reason why Bobby Kennedy Jr. has endorsed me in this race, the reason why the founders of all of our national leading environmental organizations have endorsed me in this race is because my whole career has been dedicated, yes, to creating jobs, but showing that you can, should, and must protect the environment at the same time. And the project you refer to is no exception to that rule and to the consistent theme of my entire career.
And coming back to that 2005 proposal, your point was they deserve an answer. We want to give them an answer. But is there anything in the record that would suggest that they got a break, that they got that you look the
absolutely
other way on safety or environmental damage?
Absolutely to the contrary. Absolutely to the contrary. You know, I set the highest standards. But when you set those standards, you need to get about enforcing them and making them real. And that means you get about telling someone who has a permit application, you either met those requirements or you didn't, and then move on to getting the job and the work of the people done.
Two other things about the race. Two other candidates have leveled a lot of strong criticisms at Tom Wolf about his finances, his business, his loans, about some past associations. What's your view of those criticisms?
Listen, I think that people are raising real issues, and I hope that those issues will be fully addressed. But I will tell you, Dave, in every part of the Commonwealth where I'm traveling, those are not the issues that people are asking me about or the issues that are in people's minds. People are talking about jobs. People are talking about education. You know, in our area here in the Philadelphia area, and last night when we were in Lancaster, I would like to have seen us talk about issues like, you know, there are major pipelines that are being proposed. Citizens are feeling shut out from the discussion as to whether or not those pipelines are coming into their neck of the woods in their neighborhood, even to the point of where maybe there will be eminent domain taking property away. Listen, as governor, I would step up and stand up for those citizens, ensuring that they have a right to be heard. And, you know, looking a bit skeptically as to whether or not we should have the power of eminent domain in the hands of private sector companies. Look, we all need utilities. We need critical infrastructure. But the governor should be involved in this discussion, making sure that the right balance is being struck and that if that infrastructure is being put in place, it's being put in place to maximize benefit to the people of Pennsylvania. Those are the key issues that we need to be talking about. We need to be talking about the excessive testing we have in our public schools. You know, one of my twins will sit through 8 weeks of standardized tests this year. That's 8 weeks of taking the creativity, the energy, the lifeblood out of our classrooms. I don't think we can afford that. I want to move beyond that. I want to be talking about things like the minimum wage. You know, our economy continues to lag behind other states. Other states have stepped up and given their citizens a raise, and their businesses are growing as consumer purchasing power has been restored. Those are some of the issues that I think should be first and foremost. That's what I'm hearing out there on the campaign trail.
To get votes, you have to convince people that you can win. You've been fourth in most of the opinion polls I've seen. What's your path to victory?
Well, first, I think most Pennsylvanians are only just now, understandably, turning their attention to this race. Second, as I talk to people who are concerned about the issues and very much beginning to tune in, they like the message that I'm bringing. Somebody who is going to fight for working families. Somebody's not bringing that stale old Washington gridlock attitude to these issues. Somebody who is bringing firsthand experience working with someone like Bill Clinton, every policy about putting people first, putting families first, growing good job opportunities. I feel people responding very positively with a lot of energy, and I know they're going to show up for me on May 20th.
Katie McGinty, thanks so much.
Thank you, Dave.